Jesus gave his life for ransom. Yon of Calvary, on that Calvary, brutal Calvary, paved the way by blood that we might win a bright shining crown.
Praise his blessed holy name, salvation has been brought down.
Oh, glory,
praise the Lord, blessed Lord, salvation has been brought down.
From heaven,
go and shout and shout and shout and tell it to the world around.
Go preach it and
tell it today.
People in sorrow,
tell it today.
Tell it tomorrow.
Preach the word of God that we might win a shining crown. Tell the laws of the law, salvation is full and free.
The sinners spread
the land, blessing is all over the land and sea.
Go preach it and
tell it afar,
in every nation,
tell it afar,
all creation.
Praise the Lord, the blessed Lord, salvation has been brought down. There's a blessed home prepared way over in glory land, in my glory land, blessed glory land. I have trusted in his love, and now I'm heaven bound. Praise his
holy name, salvation has been brought down.
Oh, glory,
praise the Lord, the blessed Lord, salvation has been brought down.
From heaven,
go and shout, and go and shout, and tell the world around.
Go preach it and
tell it
today.
Tell it today, tell it today.
Tell it tomorrow.
Preach the word of God that we might win a shining crown. Tell all the law, salvation is full and free.
The sinners spread
the news,
blessed news
all over the land and sea.
Go preach it and
tell it afar,
in every nation,
tell it afar,
all of creation.
Praise the Lord, blessed Lord, salvation has been brought down.
Oh, glory,
praise the Lord, blessed Lord, salvation has been brought down.
Go
and shout and tell the world around.
Go preach it and
tell it today.
People in sorrow,
tell it today.
Tell it tomorrow.
Preach the word of God that we might win a shining crown. Tell the laws, the law, salvation is full and free.
Sinners
spread the news, blessed news all over the land and sea.
Go preach it and
tell it afar,
in every nation,
tell it afar,
all of creation.
Praise the Lord, blessed Lord, salvation has been brought down.
Oh, glory,
praise the Lord, blessed Lord, salvation has been brought down.
Heaven,
go and shout and tell the world around.
Go preach it and
tell it today.
People in sorrow,
tell it today.
Tell it tomorrow.
Preach the word of God that we might win a shining crown.
Heaven,
tell the laws of all the laws, salvation is full and free.
The judgment scene of Matthew 25 banishes those on the left hand with the words, "Depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." I would suspect the devil would be angry at such a statement that tells his eternal destiny and the destiny of all those who serve him. Such information cannot help his cause. In Romans 1 and 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, the devil is firmly set to corrupt man and destroy him. And the Bible, the good news of salvation, is the power of God to salvation for both the Jew and the Gentile alike. How must that set with the devil? I'm sure he doesn't like it. In 1 Peter 5 and 8, Peter says, "Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." How better to attack and devour Christians than to attack and destroy this book that contains the vital information to their faith? Well, why hasn't the devil just destroyed the Bible and ensured his successful campaign against man? Why, indeed, he has tried. He has used his best tools, taken his best shot to eliminate the Bible. Let's look at his record. His first campaign was with the naked force of persecution. In the era immediately following the completion of the writing of the sacred scriptures, the devil marshaled the unchallenged forces of the Roman Empire to destroy Christianity and the Bible. Diocletian, who ruled from 284 to 305, was one of the most persistent and bloody rulers in persecution. In his reign, it was worth your life to possess a copy of any of the sacred writings. It would also mean prisoner death just to know of anyone who had a copy of those writings and not inform the authorities. Reviewing his campaign, Diocletian boasted, "I have destroyed the Bible from the face of the earth." Now, following Diocletian to the throne was Constantine, who reigned from 306 to 337. He made a dramatic departure for Roman rulers by professing faith in Christ Jesus. Though I would not recommend his notion of Christianity, at least he claimed to be some sort of a Christian. And he called for a copy of the Bible. But of course, that was impossible. Diocletian had already destroyed the Bible. Yet from within the city of Rome itself, within 24 hours, several copies of the sacred writings were delivered to him. Force failed, the Bible still stood intact. Years later, the devil opened another war against the Bible. He rallied the intellectual community, led by educated writers, to destroy respect for the Bible. They ridiculed the book and proclaimed that no intelligent and educated person would read and believe the Bible. Now, no one wants to appear ignorant, so this was an effective tool. If the wisest men of the world reject the Bible, why should not lesser men reject it? Voltaire was confident in the campaign. He confidently forecast that 100 years would see the end of the religion of Christianity on the face of the earth. Thomas Paine said, "In 100 years, the Bible will have passed from existence, but everyone will have a copy of the Age of Reason." Modesty wasn't exactly one of Thomas Paine's assets. Age of Reason was his own book. The Bible would be gone, he said, but everybody would have his book and be reading it. So the death knell of the Bible went out. 100 years and doom for the Bible and Christianity along with it. But let's look at the story, the rest of the story. 100 years and more passed, only to see Thomas Paine crawl into a drunkard's grave. Christianity did not die. Paine did. And have you ever owned a copy of Thomas Paine's book, The Age of Reason? Have you ever read it? After Voltaire's death, the press that he used to print his atheistic material was purchased by a Bible society and used to print the book that he hated. His house was used as a storage depot for Bibles. The atheistic writers, the Bible killers, are gone. The sacred writers are still heard. In fact, more Bibles have been printed and distributed after these men sent out their death forecast for the Bible than were ever printed and distributed before that time. That war, however, still goes on. The uniform has changed. The personnel's different. The learned writer has passed the task to the man in the laboratory coat. Scientists still mock the Bible. They ridicule people who would believe such things, and they're successful in destroying the faith of many. The most successful attempt, however, that the devil has made against the Bible was when he enlisted religion. Now, that may seem strange to you to use religion against the Bible, or it might not seem strange if it were a pagan religion, but this was a religion under the guise of Christianity. calling the Christian religion to destroy the Bible? That does seem strange, but the Bible never came nearer to extinction than it did in the Dark Ages when it was chained to the pulpit. When the Bible was held by priests who professed faith in it, when it was stored away for safety in monasteries run by men who were dedicated to being Christians, people were assured that the priest would tell them what they needed to know about living as they should. That aroused little resistance, but it effectively destroyed the Bible from the hands of people. The book was preserved, but the truth in the hearts of men was destroyed. And the Bible needs to be in the hands of men, read by men, that it may be thus written in the hearts of men, where it can change their lives. And that battle is still subtly waged today. Creed books have been placed in the hands of men rather than the Bible. All sorts of religious books and dissertations replace the Bible. It's not uncommon for people to avow that the Bible is so difficult to understand that here is another book, so much easier to understand, and if you just read it, you'll know what you need to know about how to live. And so the Bible sits on the shelf, unused, right in the home of people. Oh, it's not even chained anywhere. It's not locked up. It doesn't cost you your life to read it. But the gold letters on the front of it have never been worn by hand. Some of the pages still stick together because it's never been used. It's not been used because people, for all religious information, are looking to some other book, and thus they do not read their Bible. They know more about the Bible from a multitude of other books than they know what the Bible says. It's a strange thing when we're better versed in what the commentator says about the Bible than we are to being versed in what the writers of the New Testament themselves say. Oh, the Bible has suffered its war by the devil in an attempt to destroy it. In Matthew 24 and verse 35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Now, I know that he's talking in this about prophecies that are going to come to pass, and that his reference is that truth will not be destroyed and truth will not disappear. And that's true. No matter whether or not we have a Bible, if there was no Bible at all, truth would not change. The promises of God would not fail. If we didn't have a writing of God's law, it would still be His law, and that law would not be forgotten. We're assured that we'll be judged by the law at the last day, in the final day of judgment, and that would be true even if every last copy of the Bible were destroyed from the face of the earth. Truth would still stand. God's Word would still be here. And yet, even so, I am confident that God is not going to allow His book to be destroyed. There was a great deal of effort given for men to write down the mind of God and the truth that man needs to know in order to serve God in this world. I'm confident that God does not intend for the devil or any of the devil's henchmen to destroy this book of books. I think that the Bible is like the anvil that wears out the hammer. You know, the old blacksmith, it was said, never needed to buy but one anvil. He bought a lot of hammers in his work. He broke the handles. He wore the face of the hammer out. But there was one anvil, and it lasted. And so the Bible's like that. The Bible wears out men who want to exhaust themselves against it to destroy the Bible. There was another story I heard about an old Irishman who built a strange wall in front of his house. It was 3 feet wide and 3 feet tall. And someone asked him why he built such a strange and wide wall. He said, "Why, when the wind comes along and blows it over, it'll be just as tall as it was before." Strange story? Well, yes, but it surely reminds you of the idea of what we're seeing in the Bible, that no matter what man has done in his efforts to upset the Bible and turn it over, that when he got through with it, the Bible was just as tall as before, just as strong. There never has been anything to destroy the integrity of the Bible, the reliability of the Bible. It's still the grand old book, having stood all the tests, and with all of this effort made against the Bible, all that it has done is polish the image of the Bible and make it ever more glorious. Yes, we've been looking now for some while at this book of books, and it truly is something to merit our attention. I've labeled all of this under the category of the reliable book. We needed to establish our confidence in the book, in the reliability of this book, and I hope it has been of some profit to you to look back to the credentials that the Bible brings to us. We spend our time trying to study the Bible because it's a book that merits our attention.
Life was filled with such mercy and love, yet despised and rejected of men. Teardrops of mercy fell from the eyes of Jesus. Teardrops rained down from his eyes as he cried, "Oh, my Father, please forgive them." Then he died in agony. Teardrops as a fountain flow from the rugged tree. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Let this cup of death pass me by. Oh, my Father, let not my will but thine be done." Then he cried, for the hour was nigh. Teardrops of mercy fell from the eyes of Jesus. Teardrops rained down from his eyes as he cried,